Good evening. We welcome everyone to this very special service. Let's stand together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, out of your love and mercy, you breathed into dust the breath of life, creating us to serve you and our neighbors. Call forth our prayers and acts of kindness and strengthen us to face our mortality with confidence in the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. Good evening, congregation. The reading today is taken from chapter 58 of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, which can be found on page 600 and is verses 1 to 12. False and true worship, shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that preached righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such a fast I chose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in a sackcloth and ashes? Will you call it a fast a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not the fast I chose to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor to your house? When you see the naked, cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and to satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light will shine like in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in the parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite the congregation to please stand at this time, and I'm going to invite you to sing with me an African-American spiritual. So you'll have to prepare your voices and your hearts and your soul to sing this somewhat challenging spiritual, but beautiful. I'll sing one time through to you, and then we'll join in from verse 1 again.
Jesus, to walk with me. Today's gospel reading is from Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and 16 to 21, which you can find in your Bible at the page 787. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is something undeniably strange about how Ash Wednesday falls this year. Not only is it Valentine's Day, a day to celebrate love, but it is also the cusp of Chinese New Year, a time when families are in the thick of preparation for the most festive time of the year. My Facebook feed, which is admittedly full of theology nerds, was full of very funny mashups between Ash Wednesday cards and Valentine's Day cards, saying things like, "Won't you be my Valentine, you miserable offender?" Or, "Roses are red, violets blue, Lent is beginning, no chocolate for you." And Chinese New Year. I may not know or understand all of the meaning behind the various traditions of Chinese New Year, but I do know that it is important to avoid any reminders of death. Contrast that with Ash Wednesday. where we invite people specifically to remember their death, to remember our death on this day of celebrating love feels disjointed. For most of us, in fact, we hardly need reminders of our death. We may not like to talk about it all that often, and we may use words like passing to shield ourselves from the idea. But the reality is, it's because we know death all too well that we try to maintain a polite fiction about it. We know it in our bodies that break and get sick. We hear it on the news. We grieve for those people who lost their lives in that terrible bus accident. And we feel it in the fears that grip our bones and the anxieties that lead us to cling to any illusions of control over our lives. I well remember the Ash Wednesday, February 2008, just a week before my first child's due date. Weary with being pregnant and so eager to welcome that little one into our arms, the pastor marked me with ashes and told me I was dust. To dust you are, and to dust you will return. The audacity. Never in my life had I ever felt so full of life. And yet, I was dust. Could I really be that vulnerable? How could I possibly mother if I was that vulnerable? And even worse, was this child inside me dust? It wrecked me, this acknowledgement of death at a time when I was so full of life. The ashes that we receive on our forehead are symbols of repentance and a reminder of mortality. Two things that most of us neither need nor want reminders of. We know that we screw up all the time, that we hurt those we love, and as much as I resisted its acknowledgement, we know that our time will run out. So why in the world would we want to come and get public proclamation of such things and wear it on our foreheads? Today's gospel even seems to warn us against such public displays, talking about not disfiguring our faces. Well, Ash Wednesday didn't exist then, so right off the bat, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Although I imagine he might have something to say about it if it had. But today's gospel is tricky, especially for those of us who really want to commend the Lenten disciplines on the one hand of fasting and praying and giving, and yet on the other hand are wary of that constant temptation to make Christianity be more about what we do for God than what God does for us. So let's look at what Jesus has to say, and then I promise we'll bring it back around to ashes. Excuse me. Here we go. Jesus starts off by warning his listeners, which includes his disciples and then other people who just wanted to hear him, and it also includes us, not to practice our piety in front of others in order to be seen by them. That word, translated piety, is in other places translated righteousness or justice, both of which might have more resonance for us today. Beware of practicing your righteousness in front of others so that you may be seen by them. Or beware of practicing your justice in front of others in order to be seen by them. But in either case, the point that Jesus seems to be making is not about what people are doing, but in their motivation, how they are doing it. After all, Jesus isn't questioning whether or not people are going to do these things. He says when you give money, when you fast, when you pray. He certainly implies that there is a right way to fast, a right way to pray, a right way to give. But reading that just leaves me wondering, how do I know if I'm right enough? Is my praying secretive or humble enough? After all, most of us aren't really prone to public displays of our righteousness. Being told to go into a closet to pray instead of standing on the street corners, that's pretty easy. So I'm not sure if Jesus is telling us to make sure we do it right. And what about this Father who is in secret? Why would our God, the Creator and Lord of the universe, be in secret? Is this a game, like hide and seek, where we have to try and find a God who doesn't really want to be found? How could we possibly reconcile that with the God of grace and mercy who has reached out to find us when we are the ones who don't want to be found? I think that what Jesus is doing here is reminding us that any time we think we have this relationship with God narrowed into a prescription or a system of rewards, we are dead wrong. There are no gold stars to put on a chart. There is no spiritual ladder to climb. There is no formula. Instead, what there is relationship. There is a God who wants us to live in such relationship with him that prayer is a constant conversation. There is a God who wants us to live in such relationship with those around us that we see them as our brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters whom we are not willing to let go hungry or cold. This secret and hidden God who shows up in the places and the ways we least expect it, this God also sees us in secret, sees the most secret and hidden parts of us, the shame we carry, the hurts and losses we've told to no one, the regrets over things that still make our stomach turn over all these years later. You know that line kids use, is that a threat or a promise? Sometimes I'm not sure if it's a threat or a promise that God sees in secret. And really, the answer is yes. It is a threat and a promise that God sees in secret. And not only all that hard and yucky stuff, but the dreams too. The longings and desires, who we would be if we weren't so concerned about public approval, or if we weren't so afraid of failure. God sees and knows all of this. And that's where we come back to ashes. Why would we want to publicly mark ourselves with all that we normally keep hidden? It's not to seek public approval. The world won't approve of you for walking around with your sins or your faith bared. It's also not about God's approval, as if there was something that we could do to make God approve of us. Moreover, the ashes are not something that you have to receive, and I really do mean that. But whether you receive them or not, this is what I want you to remember about them. They are a symbol of all we'd like to hide, our sinfulness, our mortality, and those secret dreams. But those ashes are not a shapeless smudge, like a Rorschach test just waiting for someone to interpret it. They are in the shape of a cross that echoes the cross we receive in our baptism. Ashes in the shape of a cross remind us that neither our sin nor any pain that this world can inflict, not even our death, has the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is the night that the church invites you into the disciplines of Lent, disciplines that have traditionally included repentance, prayer, giving, fasting. This year at Union, we are embarking on a study of Jesus' life as told in the Gospel of Luke. And these are beautiful disciplines, all of which have the capacity to breathe new life into our relationship with God. But it is crucial to undertake these practices from the perspective of the cross. We know that any of these things that we do, as good and helpful as they are, they cannot save us. All the devotional reading in the world, all of the generous giving, the best prayer practices, none of that can or will save you. Though, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to talk to you about it after the service. This is what Jesus is warning us about. Beware, lest we focus more on ourselves and what we do rather than on God. The God who came to earth in the person of Jesus became fully human, constrained by human limits and human time, and then bore the weight of all the pain and all the sin that this world carries, that you carry and that I carry. We don't need ashes on our forehead to remind us of these weights. We may try to numb ourselves from them with work or travel or shopping, but we know they're there. No, these ashes in the shape of a cross do not only remind us of our lack and our need, but also, and crucially, of how Christ came to enter that lack and that need, and then bore that need and conquered it in his death and resurrection. We enter Lent, yes, but we enter it with an eye on Easter, never forgetting where this journey leads or who accompanies us on it. May it be so for us. Amen.
Would everyone stand for just a moment? We're about to confess our sins, and I think after that wonderful meditation, I would like you to turn to somebody and say one of two things. Without Jesus, I am a mess. Or without Jesus, I am dust. Whether you're reflecting on your sin or your mortality, turn to someone and share that confession. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sin to God, who is faithful and just, and who has promised to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please be seated.
Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love,
according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
Surely you desire truth in the inner parts.
You teach me wisdom in the inmost place.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation,
and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Amen.
Thank you.
May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give us contrite hearts. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal us by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak words of pardon and peace. With joy I proclaim to you that Almighty God, rich in mercy, abundant in love, forgives you all your sin and grants you newness of life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We begin our journey to Easter with the sign of ashes, an ancient sign that speaks to the fragility and uncertainty of human life and marks the penitence of the community. For all those who would like, we invite you to please come forward as you feel led to receive the imposition of ash on your forehead. At this time, I would invite Dr. Jan Deppner and Monty Peterson to come forward. Let us pray together. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be to us the sign of mortality and penitence, that we remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, please join me for a time of prayer. Lord, grant us simplicity of faith and a generosity of service that gives without counting cost. A life overflowing with grace poured out from the one who gave everything, that we might show the power of love to a broken world and share the truth from a living word. Lord, grant us simplicity of faith and a yearning to share it. And as people of God, let us now pray the prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand together for the prayer of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe.
You are our God, and we are the creatures of your hand. You made us from the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of life, and set us in your world to love and to serve you. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restore our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Please be seated. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and when he blessed it, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this remembering me. And then he took the cup and said, This cup is a new covenant of my blood. Drink of it, all of you. Friends, the Lord's Supper is the gift of God for the people of God. All who know Jesus as Lord and Savior are invited to participate in the Lord's Supper. We are going to pass out first the bread and then the wine. We ask that you would hold your portion so that we can all commune together. I would ask Stephen and Katrina to come forward, please. Thank you.
belong to God. We belong to God. Across this wide world, we shall always find those who are crying with no peace of mind.
On this Ash Wednesday, we reflect on our sin, we reflect on our death, but most of all, we reflect on our Savior, Jesus Christ, who says, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Take this, remembering me.
Sensing beauty or in love's embrace, whether we suffer or sing rejoicing, we belong to God. We belong to God. Across this wide world, we shall Jesus says, this cup is a new covenant, new life in my blood. Drink of it, all of you. We have a lot of new people with us tonight, but when we had our closing service at the old sanctuary, we sang a song called The Power of the Cross. And we're about to sing it again. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. I am so honored to be a part of the Union Church staff, and I would like to thank each of my fellow team members who put this magnificent service together. They told me I begin it and end it. The rest is all of them, and thank you all for what you did. And thank you all for coming tonight. This was a very special service, and it was special because you were here, reflecting and remembering just how much God loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his son. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen.